Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Claire Bartos. Claire is the branch manager and senior escrow officer at Las Brisas Escrow, and she's my favorite escrow person in the whole world. And I appreciate, I'm glad you're here because...
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. You know, one of the reasons that's true is that, I mean, we just had an escrow that was, what, 4 or 5 months, remember? Mm-hmm. Kind of fell out and all that. What is important about that journey is when you're a client like me, is that I'm dealing with somebody I know will always tell me the truth, and I know you will. That's not common. That's one of the things that, you know, when you're an investor that teaches other investors, I teach investors, well, there's code words. You know, when you talk to escrow and they say everything appears to be fine, that means nobody's looked. I mean, honestly, right? Because it always is going to hit the fan. I don't even think an escrow is going to close until I have a list of something that you have to work on.
True. That is true. I firmly believe, and I'm sort of an old school escrow because I started in this industry in the 70s. So I've learned from the ground up, so to speak. I've had every position you could have in even in lending and in escrow. And so I've always felt that the escrow was the best place to be because they're the orchestra leader. They get to coordinate with everyone. Mm-hmm. And because we're a neutral third party, we will always tell you the truth. At least I will always tell you the truth. I can't say every escrow officer will, but that's what we're challenged with, is to be truthful and neutral.
Well, it's not usual. I mean, or that's incompetent. Maybe that's possible. I'll tell you a funny story. This is my first escrow experience ever in 1981.
Okay.
So I literally didn't know anything, but I had a 30-day escrow as a investor who was working for a company. I was going to get paid a commission at the close. And so I had a 30-day escrow. So at the end of the 30th day, I walked up and I stood by the desk. And she was on the phone and I waited. And she said, what are you here for? I mean, kind of abruptly, not kind of abruptly, absolutely rudely. What are you here for? I said, I'm Bruce Norris. I'm the agent in a transaction that's going to close today. What makes you think it's going to close today? Where have you been? And it's like, oh, there's a whole list of stuff. Nobody came and helped her and all that. Whoa, I didn't even know what escrow was, but I was about to learn. Okay, well, at the end of me helping and getting it all done, she's stapling my commission check to the paperwork, and it doesn't work. She takes a stapler and fires it across the room, smashes it into the wall, into the trash can. True story.
Wow.
And I thought,
oh, dear.
My God, this is escrow, huh? I already had 9 more escrows with her.
Oh, no.
So the next morning, she had a brand new swing line stapler with a bow and my business card, and I never had any trouble after that.
That's delightful. That is. Well, you know, we do tend to, I love new agents. They're one of my passions. I mean, you can tell when you're dealing with a new agent versus an experienced investor or even a new investor or experienced agent. There are telltale signs, but I love new investors because they are new real estate agents because they haven't developed any bad habits yet.
Okay.
And I have one in particular that I've been dealing with. I met him when he was first married. I can't believe how many years ago, but his son is on the football team in high school right now. His oldest son, he has like 4 children. And I've seen all the changes, but we had such a great time together learning. He goes, I want to learn. I said, oh, I want to show you. Mm-hmm. Let me help you with the experience. Let me give you information that will help you do a better job at what you do. And he's been loyal to me ever since. He's changed company. Now he has his own company. But
okay.
He's a delight to work with. I love new agents.
What's the recipe for somebody you really want to work with over and over again?
Well, collaboration. You know, information and collaboration. That's basically what you're looking for. Is somebody that will shoot straight with you, tell you the truth, be solution-oriented when a...
That's exactly what I was hoping you would say, because there's going to be problems in every escrow.
Absolutely.
And you've got to be the type of person that you, as an escrow person, feels they can say bad news to, uh-huh. and then you both just hop on the problem and not go with blame and all that stuff. That's right. just dumb. Just solve it. Okay,
I've
whatever
never been
it
a
is.
Fan of the blame.
No,
game.
That's such a tiring thing. And I mean, those people usually get told. Sometimes weeks later, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I hope this solves itself. That's almost the category it gets mm-hmm. in. You just hope it dissipates or it solves itself. Because, mm-hmm. you know, as soon as you say it to somebody, it's going to hit the fan. And you're going, mm-hmm. well, why couldn't we just go tackle it, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
That's much better. And that's, you know, when we teach investors, I think that's one of the most important things we try to get across is what you want to do is build a team of trusted people, contractors, escrow, title, so everybody knows that you're trustworthy and a team player and a problem solver because, you know, if, after you get involved in hundreds of transactions, there's very little new stuff. That's like repeat. You know, I've right. seen this before.
Right.
We can solve it or we can't. Mm-hmm. But if you can't solve it, you might as well know day two instead of day 30.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, because then everybody can save time and, you know, even for the buyer, mm-hmm. it's not going to work. It's okay, you know.
Right.
You know, at least know that early. It's no fun when you drag something on and it's like, oh my gosh. One of the things that we had mentioned just off air, but it is a phenomenon that drives you crazy. As an investor, you know, I used to have 25 hard money loans mm-hmm. and you have 25 payments and you have 9 escrows and you think, well, certainly some of them will close on the 5th and the 10th and the 20th. It doesn't happen. By the time the 25th rolls around, you're biting your nails and you go, is it possible all these are going to close by the end of the month? And, you know, some of them do, some of them don't. But when they don't close until the end of next month. So why does that happen? That just, you don't have, I can see.
I wish I had the answer. I really do. We're back to the collaboration. Escrow is the orchestra leader. But I sometimes refer to us as the scarecrow. Because we don't really have a brain. We just have to take instruction from people.
Okay.
And we have no control over what anyone else does, but we have to bring it all together. So, you know, you could say, well, is it the lender? Because the lender doesn't have their documents, you know, prepared in time. Is it the push of, oh my gosh, we've got to make our quota and I need to make my house payment and, you know, all these things. So the real estate agents will go, I got to get this closed because I got to make my payments and, you know, this is coming. Or the seller's going, I don't want to make another mortgage payment. We've got to close this before my next payment is due. There could be a myriad of reasons why. I don't know. If you could solve that question, you'd make a lot of escrow people very happy.
It must be like 90% of your pressure is in the last 3 days of the month, every month.
It is. And we thought that the new TRID program where we're kind of working backwards, before we used to attack a file, as you'd say, that, okay, this is the close date. Okay, so we'll get here and we'll do this and we'll do that. And then we'll work towards the close date. Well, it never worked. I mean, everybody was like, okay, well, that was the anticipated close date. I always refer to the close date as a due date for a baby. Some come early, some come late, some usually never close on the day they were supposed to.
Okay.
Just like the baby doesn't come.
Okay.
So, but with the new TRID, the lenders were supposed to go, okay, this is the close date. We need to work backwards. So by this date, we have to have this done. And by this date, we have to have this done. And by this date, we have to have this done. It still doesn't seem to work. It still seems to go, okay, now we have 3 days to disclose. We're going to close before the end of the month. So let's work backwards just to the 3 day of disclosure.
Okay.
So we can prepare the documents. I don't know. I really don't have an answer. I wish I did.
You know, all of the regulation, I mean, you can see how it's hit the appraisal world, you know, with the management companies. Mm-hmm. You can see how it hits the lending world because of all the documentation and all of the fear of they buy back loans. How has it really affected the escrows?
Well, escrow, still, people are still buying houses. People are still selling houses. So the escrows, it tends to take a little bit longer, I think, to coordinate all the efforts. It seems to be additional work in redisclosing all of the time.
Okay.
Because this has come up at the last minute and you can't change things. As a matter of fact, I just received a notification that the CFPB is going to maybe take a look at revising some of the TRID procedures. And actually, my husband and some people in the council, I'm on the board of directors of the Escrow Institute, and the president and another board member and my husband are going to Washington soon to speak with, hopefully meet lots of different people, but speak on those kinds of things about how it's affecting our industry.
That's pretty cool, by the way.
Very neat. Yeah, very neat. I'm excited. I can't go. Things to do.
It's probably on the 28th.
Right.
No. I'm busy.
So that's all good.
But that is good. It's good that they do actually take input from industry experts, because I've learned that that's worked in the hard money loan business. Mm-hmm. That has definitely worked, where they've listened and they've made changes to things that they were going to do that would have been pretty devastating. And just because they didn't understand that that would be the ramifications. Yeah, you can do that, but then here's the problem that you create, and it's not worth it. We wouldn't participate, you know, and that's the type of thing where they go, okay, well, that's not so good.
Well, we work diligently in the industry. I'm on a lot of different organizations, a member of a lot of different organizations, where we try to make sure that you know, we stay current on what's happening and we have an impact on the industry. And you know, after all, the final goal is to put people in homes and avoid predatory lending. You know, do things correctly. Don't put people in houses they can't afford. There's a myriad of, again, of things that you could put in together to pull that together. But the bottom line is that we care and we do it right.
When you're looking to hire somebody for, as an escrow person, what do you look for? And what are the things that you go, okay, well, that's a red flag?
Oh, boy. Honesty, integrity, I think, are the two biggest. And the ability to know that you don't know. I mean, I learn things new every single day.
And isn't it okay to say you don't know?
It's absolutely okay to say.
It's so refreshing. I learned just a short story, but this was impactful for me. Flora Spiegel, you've been around Riverside. Mm-hmm. She was the mayor of Corona.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I used to sell her electrical stuff to her. She used Corona Industrial Electric. So the first time I met her, walking to the counter, I said, you know, I'd like to quote your electrical stuff. And she said, okay, great. And she reached out and got a set of plans that weighed 30 pounds or 50 pounds or some ridiculous thing, rolled it to me on the counter and said, I'd like you to give me an electrical quote on the switchgear. Well, you need an engineering degree to do that. And I said, Mrs. Right? Spiegel, be honest with you, I could look at it for a month and I wouldn't be able to give it to you. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm so glad you said that, young man. She said, I can work with you. She knew I couldn't do that, but she wanted to see if I would BS her. She took me downstairs where we had a stock room. She ordered $10,000 worth of circuit breakers.
Wow.
And I didn't know she was an Auschwitz survivor, and she was a tough cookie.
Oh.
But she looked for someone honest to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to be an expert. She was.
Right.
She just wanted someone honest to work with. And so when she passed away, I happened to be speaking in front of the Corona board, and her son was in the audience, and I told that story because it was such a favor for me, because I realized people will do that. They will test your integrity, and it's either 100 or zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's it. You either are going to be trusted, or they don't have time, because they'll always know it's their turn. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't today, you know, it'll be tomorrow. And so she taught me a really valuable lesson, and that's a good way to start, because I've been in lots of escrows that you just go, wow, this is kind of traumatic. As long as I can fall back on the assumption that I'm being told the truth, then I can live with almost anything. It's when I go, wait a minute. I've been hoodwinked here, you know?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, it drives you crazy. And then you kind of go, okay, I'm out of here. I mean, literally, that's sort of the end, because you've got to go find somewhere where you go, at least if I'm going to hear bad news, I'm going to hear it about a minute after they know.
Right.
And we're going to get together and hop on it and solve it, or it's not solvable, fine.
Right.
You know, we'll just move on. But yeah, to me, that's when you're hiring somebody that's in the middle of these transactions. The other thing I think is really important, what you do just because of who you are, is I think you put people at ease.
Oh.
You're dealing with a lot of people that, I mean, I remember signing my first loan docs, and I didn't even know what they were. And I mean, I'm looking at the lady going, I mean, I don't even know what I'm signing. Am I going to own a house? I mean, I didn't understand what a grantee did. I really just didn't, you know, so it's helpful to have somebody there that sort of allays those concerns.
You know, it's funny that you say that because that's one of the reasons I got into this profession when I bought my first house.
Oh, okay.
Was because it was overwhelming and we did get hoodwinked. We got hoodwinked on our loan and, you know, I was very young. Very young, like 18.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, this is wrong. People shouldn't treat people that way. You should treat people the way you want to be treated. And, you know, it would be like trying to read, a Greek novel. I don't read Greek. I have no idea what these people are talking about and what this portion means. And they just said, sign here. If you don't sign here, you don't get the loan.
Right.
Okay, I'll sign. We want our house. You know, we've already picked out the furniture. And
But you know, there's a time in your life where you could have sat there for a week and read that and it would still not ring a bell, right? There's no reference point. So you are going to have to trust somebody. And that's a tough place to be.
It is.
My second escrow ever. So the first escrow, I'm buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that nice little stretch where prices went up in the 70s, mm-hmm. and we sold the house and we made 10 grand. I have a check in my name for 10 grand net.
Whoa.
I'm like, wow, I'm rich. And so we're buying a new house, and I talked Marcia into, let's put this minimum down to buy the new house, and I have extra money, we can buy two more. So on the second house, I found out there were different kinds of agents. There was a HUD house that we bought,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm signing the paperwork, I noticed it had a box check said I was going to live in the house. I said, I'm not going to live in this house. I'm going to rent it. She said, oh, they checked the wrong box. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. So we'll get it straightened out later. So I signed it. I never thought another thing about it until FBI knocks on our door.
Oh, my gosh.
And reads my wife her rights, calls me at work and said, come home. Wow. That actually really happened.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
It was, you know, again, the agent wanted to get a commission on a house she was supposed to sell to an owner-occupant, but she was selling to investors. I had to go in front of the FBI two times, and it was terrifying.
I can imagine.
I mean, I'm probably 23 or 4. I've never even seen the principal's office.
I know.
And I mean, welcome to the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a big difference between somebody that's honest and somebody that's not, you know.
Right.
And I remember doing an exchange where sort of like in that 2006 and 7 when we're getting rid of some stuff, and I had about half the money I needed for another exchange. I was actually going to borrow money on one house,
mm-hmm.
and it kept going dragging and dragging. And finally, I just said, you know, I'm running out of time. There's a time frame with an exchange.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, the paperwork came, and I was signing stuff. And thank God I looked, because a lot of times when you sign stuff for the millionth time, you don't look exactly.
Right.
And I looked at my loan app, and it was nothing to do with my information. In other words, it was just like clean. I mean, there was he owns a business, and he's got this. In other words, mine's messy. I understand
right.
that. So I called her up and I said, you know, it's got the wrong info. She said, oh, we do that for all our clients. It just makes it easier. I said, that's loan fraud. And she got all offended. We said, we do that for all our clients. I said, well, that's a shame to hear, actually.
But, seriously.
But I'm out of here. I really am not going
so
to.
Much.
Yeah, she was like doing a favor and was upset. That had become the norm. You know, it's interesting when the industry goes there where the norm is something that's not good for anybody.
That's right.
But anyway, I'm just curious, investors, and I used to be this investor in the very beginning. I wanted to save money.
Mm-hmm.
So if I dealt with a seller directly, escrow, why would I need an escrow?
Well,
it's a real bummer when you type a grant deed up wrong, which I did.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, yikes.
Well, I think first and foremost, the reason that you would want an escrow is because if you're buying directly from another party, it's a safe haven for your documents and your funds. Because of the way we are governed, we're a neutral third party. You can deposit your funds in here, you can deposit your grant deed in here, and realize that they're safe until the agreed mutual agreement of the parties in the transaction have fulfilled whatever they've agreed to do.
Right. If you do it any other way, somebody's going to be in the trust position and the power position.
Exactly.
They've either got your money and you don't have their grant deed, or you have your money and your grant deed and they're at risk.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
exactly.
You're sort of in that trust mode it really is very uncomfortable thing.
It's a safe haven.
Yeah.
And you also have another party that you can go to for assistance in getting the other party to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, this is what you've promised to do, and this is what you've promised to do. Now, I can't make you do anything,
right?
But I can be your buffer in between, and someone that you can reach out to, going, well, you know, I was going to buy that house, but now the seller isn't going to do what he said he would do, and you know, am I obligated to buy that house still if he's not going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, all of those things, especially in the first couple of years of when you're doing stuff, all of those are new experiences. Hopefully, you don't have a ton of those types of experience. When you buy properties as an investor, you're usually buying them as is, and there's an assumption that they don't have to tell you anything, but that's not true, right?
Well, I can't give legal advice.
Okay.
So I would probably pass that one off to an attorney, because actually the contract is what governs the transaction.
Okay.
The purchase contract, however that is, whatever that is, whether it's an actual car contract or whether it's a piece of paper or a cocktail napkin, whatever that contract is, that's what governs your agreement between the two of you.
So escrow is really not, you don't really care in what form that is, if there's an agreement between two people and it's on a 12-page contract or a 2-page or a napkin, that's fine, as long as he gets the escrow open and now you deal with the meeting of the minds, basically.
And basically, escrow is the instructions that we prepare only instruct escrow what to do. Doesn't instruct the buyer or seller necessarily what to do. You have to have mutual agreement in what you have agreed to do or not agreed to do.
Okay.
This just tells the escrow holder, these are the responsibilities that we have for you to complete this transaction. And whether that says order insurance or work with a lender or perform a termite. Now, we don't order a termite, but we'll make sure that there's a termite in the file before it closes, that the parties have all agreed to it, that it's going to be either paid from the funds of the escrow or has already been paid, those kinds of things. If the seller offered to give a home warranty or a roof cert, we make sure that those are addressed before the transaction closes.
We always have we always have investors in boot camps. And it's interesting to hear their different models. And I would say 25% of the time, they try to avoid paying title insurance. Isn't that unbelievable?
That is unbelievable to me. Because, in fact, because of the liability, I won't do an escrow without title insurance.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I won't. There may be an escrow that will, but I won't. And most of the people that I deal with and I'm associated with would not, because of the high liability of that. Why would you want to purchase a property on the offset that there may be something wrong with it, that there may be a lien or a judgment falls superior to your ownership? I can't imagine why someone wouldn't want to protect themselves, their assets, the seller and the buyer.
We had got 1 minute left in this segment.
Oh, okay.
I bought a property from somebody, and they actually, during the escrow period, they couldn't move out in time. So I closed it and gave them $2,500. They had moving money, owed him $7,500. He died working on his car during that time period. So his son was going to get the rest of the money. And all of a sudden this woman shows up and she's holding an open house and a yard sale. And I said, who are you? She says, I'm his former wife. I own the house. And if I had not had title insurance, that would have been quite an issue. I wanted to see, honestly, if she really did. And so I took the documents to her handwriting expert. Because if she, in fact, didn't sign the quitclaim deed,
right,
I would have walked and let her have the house.
Absolutely.
But he said, no, she signed it. I said, good.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So anyway, that saved, title insurance saved my bacon on that one. Well, we've been talking with Claire Bartos. Claire, what's the phone number of your escrow?
Well, we have an 800 number, which is also the same as our regular number, but it's 951-680-0747.
Okay. And we've got one more segment with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.